The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age, and I am your host, John Age. Thanks for being with us tonight. I gotta say, I'm really excited about this one. Got a great guest that I've been wanting to talk to for a while. We got Brindy Wells joining us this evening in the Anomic Age. But before we get into that, don't forget, if you're new to the game or not new to the game, check out AnomicAge.com. Share that link, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. You can find all the video, all the audio, all the great guests, and their information from AnomicAge.com. You can contact me, John, at AnomicAge.com. You can also sign up for the newsletter, which I highly recommend. I'm not even really going to get into the insanity in the news this evening. I'll save that for the information breakdown segments, but you need to sign up for the newsletter because I don't know how long any of us are going to be around on the social media or even in just URLs and websites anymore. You never know. So sign up for the newsletter. It is free. Also, you can download the iPhone app, the Android app, and perhaps most importantly for me, because it's free for you but not for me, you can donate, be a sponsor or a patron, patreon.com/AnomicAge and paypal.me/AnomicAge as well. If you missed all that, just go to AnomicAge.com. It will all be there for you. That being said, I'm not going to waste any more time talking about the obvious. Hold on to your hats. We'll be joined by our guest, Mrs. Brindy Wells, on the other side. It is my pleasure to welcome Mrs. Brindy Wells into the Anomic Age today. Brindy was born and raised in South Africa and has been on the forefront of making the world aware of what is currently going on and was going on in South Africa. Since 2014, she has exposed the atrocities and heartbreaking reality of the persecution her people are suffering as a result of the 1994 communist takeover disguised as a democracy. She is currently living in America with her husband, John B. Wells, whom she met when she was on his show, Caravan to Midnight, in August of 2014. Together, they have taken awareness of this cause to the highest levels of governments around the world. Today, she will explain what the next steps are in rescuing a nation of people from sure extinction. Brindy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure getting to talk to you a little bit, and I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Oh, definitely. Me too. We talked about this a little bit today before, but I think it's kind of very providential that we had some hiccups and some problems with scheduling to get you on right about now, because for better or worse, looking at what was going on in South Africa and it's still going on there, I can't help but draw some parallels to what's going on in America right now. And to say the very least, it causes me great cause for concern.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, it was the topic of my interview with John B. in 2014. I came on his show and I told him that South Africa is a blueprint for what they are implementing in America. And the hate and vitriol that I got, I mean the hate mail, I am a racist, a despicable person, I was intolerant, and all the stuff they are calling you guys now,
the
deplorables, how dare you believe in the Constitution and God and government, God in government, because they always want to separate. But you can't have one without the other. And I was just villainized for it. The only difference is that when it happened in my country is It happened in the late 80s when all the stuff was going down and they instituted apartheid and all of that. You know, in that whole time that we had all these sanctions against us, we never wanted for a thing. We manufactured our own things. We had all the farmers. We had manufactured our own food. We had Dunnell, which was a defense company. We were a nuclear power, the same as America. We were an ally of America. Now, South Africa is part of BRICS, which is a communist alliance. I think it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how life has changed. But we were about 5 million white people who happened to be white, okay? I don't think your skin color has anything to do with it other than that they use it as a tool to create division. And what happened is that we became the enemy. All of a sudden, we had no right in our own country. The Chinese gets to go to South Africa, and they are made, get this, honorary blacks. Okay? I know it sounds stupid, but you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means that if they apply for a job, and I apply for a job, or this Chinese national applies for a job in South Africa, and I apply for a job as a South African citizen who grew up there and lived there. I mean, my people's been there for over 400 years, since 1652. We fought two wars to get rid of the British, just like in America. We built a civilization out of absolutely nothing. And all of a sudden, we were enemies of the state. Purely for, you know, being white on street, you know? So it's terrible. And I was trying to tell the world this. I was trying to tell America this. But I was being made a racist. And because I was part of apartheid, I somehow, all our people deserve to be mutilated and murdered and brutalized at a level that you cannot even comprehend. I mean, I'm talking about these guys beating a three-year-old to death with a shovel. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating. And I'm telling you, and this is what I've been telling Americans since I got a little bit of a podium to stand on and screaming it out to. I mean, I had to flee my country after this. I was told to shut up. I got a dead bird in my post box, my mailbox. Since then, two other lady activists were murdered, brutally murdered. I mean, it's not just come and shoot you. They torture you. And the men and the children, and they don't care. And it's an agenda. It's an agenda. And why are they killing the farmers? Is they trying to stop food? Because part of Agenda 21, and I don't know if you know, Agenda 21 the 100-year anniversary of the Communist Chinese Party. And if you look at the Bolshevik Revolution and what they've done there, first they overthrow the government, then they kill all the professors that taught the kids to be good little communists. They get killed first.
Yeah, now there's the long knives is coming.
Yeah, I wonder if they know that. And then what they do is they starve the people to death. And the ones who do survive become slaves and millions of people will die. Well, that is what I'm looking at. When I came to America, I said to John, look, next thing they're going to do is they're going to take the statues down. They're going to attack the statues. He said, no, it will never happen yet. Lo and behold, 3 months later, it started. I said, next thing they want to change the name of the cities. Then the next headline on the news was they want to change the name of Austin, Texas. I mean, and it just kept going. I would tell him, this is going to happen. And it happened. And he goes, how do you know this? I said, it's not because I'm clairvoyant. It's because I've seen this before. I've been there. I thought I escaped it. But here it is again. It's like being in the Twilight Zone.
It's really so sick, and they play off people's ignorance, because I'll be the first to tell you, I just turned 43, but when I was growing up in what I just call the cult of academia, I just say K through 12 indoctrination, college, university, weaponization, because that's kind of how I see it playing out. But when I was growing up, I didn't have any real concept of apartheid or even what was going on in South Africa. I mean, we saw some of these like music specials and USA for South Africa and this kind of weird stuff, but I didn't have any real lens as to what the heck was going on. So later on, it's so startling, the reality of what's going on, because that's not what gets taught in academia for sure.
No, let me tell you, the entire anti-apartheid movement was a communist propaganda campaign. And it's the truth. Sorry, let me switch my phone off. It's a communist propaganda campaign. It was all that it was. We didn't know we were these horrible racists. I promise you, the way I found out was I was about 17 years old. I was sitting on the farm. Two of my friends were sitting there. They happened to be black. We were speaking a Zulu an African language, which is Zulu. Now, I can speak Zulu fluently. Now, how do you speak a language of people that you hate? Because I must have spent time with people in order to speak their language. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I must have sat around, the dinner table, and I must have had some form of interaction for me to speak a language. So my friend Linke and Dumezani were sitting next to me, and we had a newspaper. And she said to me, "Gosh, I didn't know you're a racist." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm a racist? What does it even mean? Give me that." You know?
Yeah. We're hanging out and talking and playing together, but now we're sworn enemies.
Yeah. So we read the newspaper together. We were, both of us were completely blown away. We didn't know all this was going on. I mean, I know we knew there were unrest. We knew that there were laws in place that segregation laws in place up until like the mid 80s, just like there were segregation laws in place certain places in America and Australia. Do you know in Australia it was illegal to go and hunt Aborigines?
Jeez.
They were classified as fauna and flora. You could go hunt them. So how appalling. But the point that I'm making is humans have evolved, and we've learned, and we said, okay, maybe that's not a good idea. So segregation started to fall away, but not because of the anti-apartheid movement. Apartheid, what the word actually means, it means the state of being separate. Apart means apart, hate. It's not hate, like I hate you. It means the state thereof. In other words, it means the state of being separate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact is, what happened in South Africa, you need to understand that there's 11 different tribes and tongues of people. They speak Swazi, Xhosa, Venda, Sotho, Sesotho, Northern Sotho. I mean, various tongues. And they were nomadic tribes. They were warring tribes. They were killing each other. There was forever this war between this tribe. The Zulus hate the Xhosas. They hate them. I mean, it was bloodshed, mayhem, and murder. And what apartheid was, is we thought, okay, hang on. This cannot happen. You know, let's teach them to live in peace, but give them their own land. That's what we did. So every tribe and tongue got their own, what is effectively known as a homeland, but it was their own country. It had its own borders. We built them schools, roads, hospitals, taught them. Us white people went in there, taught the teachers, showed them. I mean, there were videos on YouTube where Dr. Verwoerd, who was the father of apartheid, was talking to one of these black presidents in Babutatswana. And they just had such a lovely rapport. They had such a good relationship. And he was praising Dr. Favut for giving his people the opportunity to rule and reign and teach themselves in their own country, in their own language. And, you know, that's what apartheid was. Every single tribe got their own country. And we funded it. The taxpayers, the minority group, funded all of this. They all had free healthcare. They all had free schooling. They all had this. But I'm telling you one thing that the BBC never shows is those marches in South Africa with the placards going, bring back apartheid. Mm-hmm. You think they'll show that? No, because the media is corrupt. And the fact is, apartheid was never about racism. Apartheid was empowering the people. That's why today, when Nelson Mandela came walking out of prison, it was actually, that's another story. He was in prison, but he had a house and he had a phone and he could come and go like he wanted. He was a very political royal prisoner. Mm-hmm. You know? But the fact of the matter is that Swaziland and Botswana, if you can go and look at the map of South Africa, you see it's a little point. Right in the middle, there's a hole. It's like a whole country in the middle of the country. Because they said, no, we don't want to be part of the communist thing. And Swaziland too. No, no. They stayed independent. So if these homelands was so horrible, why did those two countries go, no, thank you? And they are still independent countries up until today.
That's just insane. I mean, all I can do is speak to what I know and how rife the propaganda is. And without giving too much away, I teach it. And yeah, that's the narrative. The narrative, I can tell you, I can show you the books where it says, oh, well, the San and the Juanse were put on all these reservations and they were just put in these camps. And it was just like the Native Americans. And they just got moved into these little
swamplands.
Yeah, it's death camps, basically, is how it's portrayed.
And it's not the truth.
It's not like that at all. It's just pure propaganda.
It was pure propaganda. Those lands. And let me tell you something. Those homelands that then became incorporated into South Africa, they turned out we had four provinces. And then as a result of these homelands joining, now we have nine provinces. Because these countries became part of South Africa again. And they have not developed that land. The government actually owns all the homelands. They've got their tribal leaders living on there. They have not developed it, but they own more than 64% of all agricultural land as a result of that and the homelands. Mm-hmm. And now they are taking land away from us. The farmers are getting their land taken away from them without compensation. And that's being rammed through the government right now, even though it's unconstitutional. And then when I found out what was going on, the first piece of land that they are taking has got mining rights on it, and the government owns all mining rights, regardless who owns the property. But they took that land. And it was a very profitable piece of farmland, and it fed thousands and thousands of people. And we've since found out that that has been promised to the Chinese to build a mine on. So they're taking the land under the reparations clause. Now, be very careful. Any politician that tells you reparations for slavery, let me tell you what that is. That it's the first building block for you to lose your property, because they will then take it further. Then they're going to – and look, could you mind if I just tell you what's going to happen from
Please,
here on out?
By all means, because we need the cliff notes, and I know you've got it.
Okay, so this is what happened. When Nelson Mandela became our president, and he be It was fireworks and beautiful, and it was just the most amazing thing, and it's freedom. It wasn't freedom. It was all smoke and mirrors, because the very next thing he did is he released about 100,000 violent prisoners into the population. That's what he did.
They're calling for here.
They started murdering people left, right, and center, specifically targeting the white people, because we were the evil ones. Even though we were the ones negotiating, not a single bullet was shot. There was no fight. I mean, we were infiltrated. P.W. Botha was our president. And he then had this mysterious illness. We found out later that he was poisoned. And that's when they put in this F.W. de Klerk guy, whose friends were Soros.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing we knew, he negotiated our entire country out from underneath us. We lost our nuclear weapons. One is missing. I wonder if anybody out there is listening. There's a nuclear weapon missing from South Africa. Okay? Just let me drop that in there.
It's a little bit of losing your keys. We're losing a nuclear weapon here.
Right? I mean, I've lost my shoes, but, you know. But the point is, maybe somebody needs to look into that, because where is it? Where is it?
Before you go on, is there any idea who poisoned the president there? I mean, we got our suspicions, I'm sure, but...
Well, we obviously know that all of this was implemented by Open Society and George Soros. Nelson Mandela was a 33rd degree Mason. I mean, if you just go and type in Nelson Mandela and Soros, you'll find pictures of Nelson Mandela dressed in his garb, standing like, you know, that thing that
looks with the
like
Mason with his hand in his pocket, probably.
Yeah, so that's exactly that. So Mandela was just a puppet with a black face, so that they could play this race game. Because nobody plays racial. I mean, do you walk into a restaurant and go, I wonder how many Indians are in here, you know? Nobody does that. The only people that play racism are the politicians. That is the truth, you know? Because we normal people on the normal plane of life, everybody, unless you are an abject criminal or a psycho, everybody wants the same thing. We want to be safe. We want to be able to provide for our families. We want to be left alone to serve whomever we want to serve and to do whatever we need to do and want to do to earn a living. I mean, it's the free market. But they want that taken away from you. They want you dependent on the government so that they can control you. And it's a different form of slavery. Mm. Because if you think about it, when the slaves were set free, many slaves went back to their masters, because they were part of the family.
That's the truth.
And it's not like they were working for absolutely nothing. Yes, you had your evil masters, but you have evil people no matter where you go. But predominantly, people took care of the people that worked for them. They provided them food, housing, all of these things. And when that got taken away from them, they had no identity, so they went back. Now, I'm not saying slavery is a good thing. Nobody owning another human is, that's not right, okay? But if somebody works for you and you pay them a fair wage, that's not slavery, is that? All right. So this is what we were accused of, slavery in South Africa, because we employed a lot of black people. But there were 70 million black people and 5 million whites. Of course, the majority of people that are going to be employed is going to be black. It had nothing to do with the color of their skin. Again.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to import people from India just because to fit a quota? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
The British did that. They imported the Indians from India to come and work in the sugar field. Durban in South Africa is known as Little India. It has the highest concentration of Indian people outside of India. So, I mean, I lived in Durban. I love curry and rotis and all these things. And we were such an amazing melting pot of people. It's just sad that the government had to mess it all up. But coming back to where we are, they started murdering us. They started escalating. I mean, you can open up the newspaper, or it was never reported on in the newspaper. Okay, every now and again there'll be like a little article on page 5. But if you looked at social media, I mean, sometimes 2 farm murders a day. And if somebody says farm murder, it's not just a guy that showed up and shot somebody. It was a bunch of people. It was a coordinated event, and we found out later that it was actually Zimbabweans and Nigerians and Mozambicans that was paid by our government to do it. So they wanted us dead. Zuma himself sat in front of the EU and just completely denied that farm murders are happening. He just said, no, it's not happening. But it's a lie. It is happening. And just like exactly what they are doing here, when you had that violence in Portland, I remember that scene where it was the CNN reporter standing there going, oh, it's such a peaceful process.
Yeah,
and then
everything's on fire.
Bomb goes off behind. I mean, the fire. You're starting to question your sanity because you can see what's going on, but it's like a whole world is in denial.
Yeah, I mean, the gaslighting is so intense. Like, pay no attention to reality. We're telling you.
Yeah, right. Don't mind the building on fire behind me, you know. But the fact is that I remember being at a concert in 2013. I went to an Afrikaans, because that's my native language, Afrikaans, which is it's almost like Dutch, you know. I would say it's the difference between a New York accent and a Texas accent. It's still English, it just sounds different.
I got you.
So my language is in Durban specifically, being the last British outpost, there's not a lot of Afrikaners in Durban. It's mostly British Indian. And so an Afrikaans singer came and I couldn't wait. So I went and I listened to him. And after his performance, his name is Steve Hofmeyer. After his performance, there was this, on the big screen, all these names started coming up, thousands of names, just names. And he spoke and he said, every time a farmer dies, one of our traditional songs dies. One of mother's recipes will never be made again. You know, and he started this thing. And by the time it was all over with, there was thousands and thousands of names, 70,000 names just going by. And each of that person was a person. It was somebody's mom, somebody's dad, somebody's uncle, somebody's brother. They had a name. And they are just dead now. Nobody cares. And the fact is that at that moment, I realized, gosh, I wonder what this puddle is. And I actually cried so much that I made puddles on the floor. And I realized something's got to be done. Something has got to be done. I had just read my son's history book, and it was the biggest load of hogwash that I've ever read. Made up history, stuff that never even happened. You know, I mean, I shouldn't even get into it. I get so jacked up. But yeah, they taught us white people how to build practically just they taught everything to us. We should be grateful to them. And the masses don't believe that. It's just the rhetoric. It's like that woman who said on that Tucker Carlson was talking about that they are just so much superior because of melanin. You know, my argument is then why in 1652, when there were universities in Europe and we landed on the continent of Africa, they hadn't come up with a wheel yet. You know, it's not that they're dumb, but I believe people evolved differently, you know. In the equator, it wasn't next to the equator where it was warm. Food was readily available. It was easy to survive than in Europe. They had to improvise, adapt, and overcome. So obviously different cultures evolved in different ways. But so what? Each person and each culture is totally within their own right to embrace their own culture, their own language. And that is why the presidents of the homelands were so appreciative, because they could teach their children their own traditions in their own language. And then in South Africa, we also had schools for the black people that decided to live in South Africa as opposed to the homeland because they got a job on the mine or whatever. And we were told that we were giving them inferior education, which wasn't true at all. And we built so many schools within South Africa. And what happened, the first thing that Mandela did is he closed down about 400 schools. Wonder why that was. But okay, that is the one thing. Then the F.W. de Klerk, who was the last white president, traitor, he, right after he handed the keys to Mandela, divorced his wife, who was our first lady, Marika. She was a wonderful woman. We loved her, just like you love Melania. And he divorced her and left her for some Greek oil guy. I mean, very, very wealthy friend that he probably met somewhere in his world travels. Left her for that man who was his friend's wife. So now they married. And about a year later, Marika was brutally murdered in her house because she knew too much. She just knew too much. So they killed her. Do you think that made any headlines whatsoever that our previous first lady was brutally raped and stabbed to death in her own house? No. It was like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, that's what I want to underscore. When you're talking about these murders, we're not talking about people getting shot here, folks. We're talking about brutality that just hearing you say it, and from what I've read in the past, I can't even comprehend anybody even doing this kind of stuff.
Well, they do it. And now can you see how they're going after the Trump family? Can you see the censorship that they are doing here? Can you see that? The next thing is they're going to classify you as a terrorist, as an enemy of the state for ever supporting President Trump. You know what they're going to do? They're going to throw you in jail without a trial, and they're going to get rid of you. No amount of paperwork that your family submit to prove your innocence, nothing will work. You won't even get a trial. You'll just sit there. We've got people in South Africa, Boere Mag, which means the boer, if you translate the word boer, it says farmer, okay? But it also is our people. We call ourselves boere, even though if you don't have a farm or you work in the city, you're still part of, it's like an American, you know, yeah. A boere. So Boere Mag was a militia. And again, the word militia has also been weaponized. A militia is a well-organized group that defend themselves against the government. So these guys got caught, and they weren't going to go and overthrow the government and plant bombs or something. They just started marching to the capitals and made their demands known. And they got thrown in jail. Made out to be these horrible Nazi racists
that were just going to,
yeah, they were just going to go and kill all the black people, which wasn't true. Okay, they have sat in jail now for over 10 years without a trial. Let that sink in. I speak to one of the guys who's in jail's wife on a regular basis. If you want, I'll arrange an interview for you. But she has been through hell and back, and nothing they do. I don't even think one person in America knows about that case. And those people are sitting in that jail. They'll probably die if nothing is done. So this is what's going to happen. They're going to silence you. They're going to disconnect you from any form of communicating with anybody else with a similar mindset. So they're going to divide and conquer, and you'll see home invasions. Will they come into your home, brutally murder an entire family? I mean, this is what they do. And I'm not telling you to scare you. I'm telling you to so that you can understand what you're looking at. And when I said this stuff 4 or 5 years ago, people said I was insane. I was horrible. And I didn't know what I was talking about. But everything I've told you up until today that was going to happen, happened. So this is the next level. They'll walk in. You'll have home invasions where they wipe out an entire family. They'll tie their husband down. Sometimes what they did is they cut the Achilles of the men so that they couldn't run away, so that they have to witness how 6, 7, 8 men rape their wives in front of them and ultimately kill them. Their 3, 5, 6, 7-year-old little girls raped in front of them. Their boys sodomized, killed, strangled in front of them. They drowned a 12-year-old boy in a boiling tub of hot water after he witnessed his parents being murdered. That is what we're looking at. They want to get rid of us. They hate us. Any opposition to their agenda is evil and need to be dealt with. The same way they have dealt with President Trump, they will turn their ire on you and treat you exactly the same. Don't expect any special treatment. You either get with their program or get killed. That's it.
Man.
I'm sorry.
I certainly don't have any good words. Yeah, I got a lot of bad words, but yeah.
That's why I'm saying to America, and I believe that this will happen. I totally believe President Trump understands this. I mean, Melania comes out of a communist country. So he gets it. He knows what he's looking at. And also, we were, in 1948, we became a republic, free from the British, right? Apartheid started, the forcible land removals, you know, getting people off their land. Because that was Cecil John Rhodes, who was a British guy. He found gold and diamonds, and he did that in the late 1800s. The British also had slaves in the Cape Point. We fought 2 wars to get rid of them, 2. And then finally, in 1948, we became a republic. 1994, we handed this country over. So we weren't even there. We were even in control when the forcible land removals happened. So it's impossible for us to have been even accused of apartheid, because we didn't do it. We inherited what the British did. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is that we need to all come together, all of us, all our patriots, and stand our man. Whether you are green, yellow, black, with spots, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. It's whether you want to be free or if you want to be a slave, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to enslave you. And in South Africa, they simply opened the borders. 1948, we were about 5 million white people, about 6, 7 million black people. They opened the borders. What did they do here? Opened the borders. And by 1994, we had 40 million black people. And that's what happened. Outvoted us, and that's what happened.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here and talking about this, because I think it's exactly what the American people need to hear. And in my opinion, people are still stuck in this normalcy bias. I mean, I've been ringing the alarm, as you know, John has and so many others out there, but I still look at the American people and they don't seem to grasp just how dire the position we're in is. I mean, I think the whole American public needs to be up in arms. Screw few hundred thousand at the Capitol. We needed millions at the Capitol just to say, yeah, we don't want to go into slavery. We don't want to give our children over to the state. We don't want to take the vaccine. We're done with your slave mask. We're taking that off. And I feel like people are just kind of going along to get along with this and kind of treating this in many regards as if it's just another election, when to me it's the end of it all. Like, if this stands, we'll never have another real election, not even the semblance of another election.
No, you never will. The ANC has been in power ever since Nelson Mandela walked out of prison. And when we go and vote, we don't just have a left and a right, two parties. We have a ballot. I kid you not, there's probably about 100 parties on there. But you never hear from them. You don't know who they are. I mean, you get the main opposition, which is the Democratic Alliance. They are more conservative. They're not conservative, but they the most conservative. No, I'm lying. There's Freedom Front, which is who represents the farmers. But I mean, I think they represent like 1% in the Senate. So there's absolutely, we have no voice. We have nothing. It's gone. You know, it's just every day is a race of survival. I used to have my scanner on my radio in my car and listen where the roadblocks were, where they were shooting, where somebody just got raped, attacked, brutalized, and choose the route that I would take to go to work. You know what I mean? It's just, it's you don't understand it. And it's so, your rights get taken away from you incrementally. First of all, they go, okay, now you have to register all your weapons. Okay, so everybody goes, they register all their weapons. Okay, now you have to have a license. And in order to have a license, you have to have a competency test. Okay, so everybody goes, they pay their $20, they do the competency test, and you get the certificate and you get your license, but it's valid for 5 years. Okay, so 5 years later, you reapply. Now they go, okay, now you have to go a competency test and a medical, you know. And then I lost my weapon. I just had a pistol, and I lost that because I failed my medical. Do you know why?
No.
Because 20 years ago, okay, my son was 17. 17 years ago at the time when I lost my license, I was on antidepressants for 3 months after I had a baby. I had a bit of baby blues, and I was on antidepressants for 3 months. So 17 years ago, you were on antidepressants for 3 months, so you can't have a weapon. I mean, it gets ridiculous. So that's how they start to do this. Everybody else, they would say, okay, go hand in your weapons at the police station, or else we're going to come and arrest you. And guess what? Those cops sell those weapons to the criminals. You have no idea how bad this is. A guy will go in and murder an entire family. The police will catch him. The next day he's out on bail for 500 rand. Do you know how much that is? Not even 30 bucks. The entire judicial system has been gutted. There's not a judge left that knows anything about the law. They don't care. They don't care. Criminals have more rights than law-abiding citizens in that country. It's a banana republic. It's just a big fat joke, and it's a dangerous republic. With this lockdown with corona, one guy stepped out on his balcony, a black guy, and they shot him. Dead for having the audacity to step outside of his house with this horrible virus, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not safe in a communist country for a citizen. It's not. Only the elite and the cronies benefit. That's all. That's what happens. And the only fight we have against this evil is God. That's the only thing we can do. It's the only thing we can do. Because God is still on the throne. In America, we are still the majority. Patriots are still the majority. If you just look at the real election results, I mean, I've seen a map where it completely went red, including California.
Yeah, it's all red.
So I don't think these communists understood what they were dealing with when they took on America. Because Americans, yes, the press makes things bigger than they are. Biden doesn't have any support. It's all smoke and mirrors. The big support and all the online vitriol that you get, it's such a small percentage of brainwashed people. It wasn't significant enough to even keep as much seats in the Senate and in the House as they've done in previous years. With this one, I'm talking about the real election, the real numbers. I mean, they had to pull off the biggest voting scheme ever. They didn't anticipate President Trump's support. They didn't. I think they are scared to death.
I think so too. I mean, just to underscore something you're saying here, I want people to understand that South Africa was a first world country. They had nuclear capabilities. They were an ally of the U.S. They weren't, you know, fill in the blank, your favorite third world nation, and it slipped through the fingers just that quickly.
Exactly. Everybody said we were like Hitler. Hitler was a socialist. You know that.
Exactly.
Everybody knows that. So we weren't a socialist country. We were free market. We South Africa produced enough food. Our farmers, because you know every culture has a thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to call it. Every culture of people is good at one or two or three things, but they're good at it. You're known for it. I mean, the Germans are good engineers. German technology is always the top technology. The Portuguese, they are amazing business people. I mean, they will open a shop no matter where they go, and they will become wealthy, you know. Indians, have you ever tried to negotiate with an Indian? You don't win, okay? Because they're good at it. We are good farmers. We're good farmers. We fed the entire continent of Africa, and we exported food. South Africa is now in a place where it has to import food because they killed all the farmers. So this is what they want to do. They want to get rid of your industry, your capability to produce food, and starve everybody to death. That is the communist playbook. And who's behind the communist playbook? Just go and look at Stalin. Stalin was a Satanist. Mm-hmm. Lenin was a Satanist. This is good and evil stuff. And I told you about my website, Quantum Praise.
Yeah, let's get into that, Tom.
Well, you know, quantum physics is something I've always been interested in. And my son wanted to be a quantum physicist when he was a little boy. Yeah. He changed his mind when he realized he's going to have to take math for that.
I'd be right there with him. That's too much math for me. I couldn't do it.
But, you know, quantum physics is really something amazing. And it's the God particle, if you think about it. It's the spiritual realm. And everything that we do in this realm has an effect in the spiritual realm. And your energies and frequencies. And this is not hooey new age stuff. This is real stuff. And if you pray, Jesus says in the Bible, if two of you pray in my name asking for anything, I will do it in agreement. So, okay, I mix it around. You have to pray in agreement. Then God will do it. Why? Now go back to the Tower of Babel. When God told them, you know, spread throughout the earth, they said, no, we're going to build this tower, we're going to stay here, and we're going to build a tower to go into heaven. Do you know what they wanted to do? They were trying to open a portal,
mm-hmm,
what CERN exactly. is doing now. And then God says, no, hang on. These people have purposed in their hearts to do this, which means they will do it. That's why he changed their languages. Not because they were naughty. It's like because they purposed in their heart in agreement to do something, they will do it. And that's exactly what is happening if you look at what communism is. Do you remember Star Trek, the Borg?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Assimilate. Yeah. Resistance is futile. That is what they are. Resistance is for you assimilate or they kill you. Pure and simple. That's what it is. And that's what this whole thing with COVID is. This is the vaccine, and this vaccine is got all sorts of DNA and human tissue in it, and it's, you know, Bill Gates has patented the 666 vaccine. And I mean, the fact is, it'll change your DNA.
You tell people that 666. And they can't even believe it. I'm like, yo, it's really there. Look at the government website. That is legitimate.
So what happens now is when they're going to give you two vaccines. The first one will just be the sleeper, and the second one will activate the chip that will connect you to a quantum computer. And go and listen to Elon Musk and his Neuralink.
Yeah.
They're going to hook you up to the system. This year, they're bringing out something that you can put in your ear that will translate any language to any language in real time. This is all being put into play now. We're witnessing the last days. I mean, it's like prophecy playing out in front of us.
Yeah. But I mean, I've told several guests, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to look at Revelations, where it's talking about the mark of the beast to buy or sell, and see exactly what the heck's coming down here.
Oh, that is so true. But in any event, the same principle works for us. If we on this earth, on this planet, decide to stand together in prayer, in the spiritual realm, what happens is that God commands his angels. I mean, if we are the force that gives them the access to come and fight the battle for us or to act. God created the world by speaking it. He said, let there be light. And guess what? How many thousands of years later, the sun still comes up every morning based on the first word that he spoke. So our words are powerful. What we say is powerful. What we think, thoughts are real forces. It's quantum physics. It creates your energy. You can think yourself into a negative place, or you can think yourself into a positive place. I did a little experiment the other day. I looked in the mirror and I thought, like every girl, you know, go, oh, I'm fat. I'm just fat. So horrible. I'm old. I'm fat. I'm ugly. And that's what I saw. And I thought, hang on. You know, I can't. So I took a little bit of a pose, and I'm not. I'm beautiful. And you know what? Then I looked at myself, and I'm like, I'm not fat.
That's right.
So you see what you want to see. And that is where you have your power. Just put on some, I mean, you can just go onto YouTube, get some binaural beats, positive frequency range, and feel how your atmosphere change around you.
I mean, I'm giving everybody a science project now, but you can do this with two plants. You can get two plants, same sunlight, same water, and you start talking bad to one of them and start talking good to the other one. It sounds hokey, folks, but it works.
It does.
It'll kill the bad plant. The one you're talking down to is going to be gone just from talking bad to it.
It's like that experiment that I saw. Was that doctor with the water?
Yeah, I can't recall his name either, but I know you're speaking.
So they had that. They took rice. They took rice in two jars. Same rice, cooked the same day, the whole thing. The one rice, they made a sticker, good rice, and the other one, bad rice. So every day, it was like, praise the good rice and just say awful things to the bad rice. And the bad rice became black, and it got moldy, and it was just disgusting. And the good rice remained white and fluffy. So how do you explain that? Words are powerful. Where do words start? With your thoughts.
That's right.
And your thoughts are influenced by the energies and the frequencies around you. And if you are in a very negative environment, you can think yourself sick. And if you just decide, I mean, I'm talking too much now, but I remember I was upset about something. John and I had a little disagreement over something. It was really stupid. But I am mad. You know how you can just feel self-righteous and I am mad. I'm right. How dare my feelings are hurt. Terrible. Woe is me. And I went and I sat in a different room and I was just thinking about it. And I'm mad. And I'm thinking, how long am I going to be mad? And I thought about it for a second. I thought, you know what? This is my choice. It's my choice how I feel. I might be mad. I might be upset. I might feel that my ego is, you know, been given a dent in or whatever. And then I put on that music. It's binaural beats, you know, positive frequency. And I could feel how my environment changed and how I calmed down. And everything became quiet. And all my self-righteous rage went away. And I went to John. I said, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that, you know. But I would have been justified if I did, you know.
<Of course. laughs> I mean, I can't help but think that's what's going on with the education system, because they're doing that same thing with the plant experiment, except they're doing it with the population. And they're saying, okay, well, anyone of color, well, you're oppressed. And you're never going to be good enough in the guise of the Caucasians. And you're never going to be a mountain, dot, 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 in the glass ceiling, and slavery, slavery, slavery. And then in contrast to the white population, they're saying, you're the root of it all. You're the worst. We came, we took the land, we enslaved everybody. We didn't do anything. We're just these horrible oppressors. So they're doing that weird plant thing with the population. And they're achieving the divide and conquer. They're getting both sides against each other, when in fact it's all part and parcel, a whole lot of fiction. But it doesn't matter, because they've created the reality and they've defined the reality for everybody, and everybody's just playing along with it.
That's the truth. They are. It's a one big psyop. And the truth is that no matter how, John always says this, no matter how thin you slice a slice of bread, it's got two sides. No matter how thin it is. And there's always two sides to a story. But they are programming our kids. I mean, the first 7 years of a child's life, they learn more than they learn after that. They learn to speak. They learn a whole new language. They learn to walk. They learn to reason. Their critical thinking is formed. Now, you give that little baby, that impressionable baby, in the first 7 years of a child's life, to a communist, what do they call it here? Common Core. In South Africa, it's called outcome-based education. The same thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
But they are good little socialists by the time they're seven. That's what they're doing. And then that culture and that thinking, it gets projected on us humans. They've created a different reality for those people, the leftists. That's why you cannot argue with them. Their reality is different to yours. And that's what quantum prayer is. Go to quantumpraise.com. There's a prayer there. We pray it every night at 9 central. Everybody prays. Wherever you are, everybody prays for our country, 9 o'clock central. Also, join John B. Wells' Telegram group. I'll send you the links and you can post it with this
episode.
And everybody in their chats, we listen to the shows, but we pray. We pray every night. And now, can you imagine if 1 million people pray every night at 9 for our country? The enemy doesn't stand a chance.
I love it. That's beautiful. I think that might be the best possible solution, because short of some very divine intervention, I don't see much else changing right about now.
That's exactly that. And I'll send you the links and we can I would love to see you in there and every night.
Definitely. I'd love to. I'm on Telegram, so I'll have to check that out and get in there for sure.
Thank you. Well, you take care. And I'm so happy that I was on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to leave anybody with before we close out here?
Keep the faith. Don't ever give up. Remember that God is still on the throne. And I read the end of the book. We win. Don't give up.
That's beautiful. That's a great way to leave it. If you'll stick around for a second, I'll talk to you at the close of the show, please.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't know if I could possibly close it out any better than that, but as I always do, I'll say this. You can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and make a difference and do your part. Be safe out there, and I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anama Cage.
Thank you for listening to the Anama Cage, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anamicage.com. That's anamicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to the Anama Cage. I'm gonna go to the next one.